Good morning, everybody. Those of you who have joined us online, welcome to our online service. So good to be with you this morning. So I've got a joke for you. It's not a very good one. So the first service, the guys didn't laugh that much. So don't have much expectation, okay? But I'm going to tell you the joke anyway. I thought about not telling you the joke, but I'm going to tell it to you anyway, okay? So we had a power outage at the house, and the PC, laptop, TV, DVD, iPad, surround sound music system, all shut down. Phone is dead because of load shedding. I couldn't go outside because it was raining. I couldn't get out to go for a drive in the car because the garage door works off electricity. I went into the kitchen to try and make some coffee, realized I can't even put the kettle down. So I sat down, talked to my wife and kids. They seem like nice people. not too bad, eh? You know, that can sometimes be in our house with four teenagers. You know what? If you want to get their attention, switch the Wi-Fi off. Yeah. All of a sudden, you have their attention. So we're doing our series called Faith, the Final Frontier. And this morning, we're going to be looking at the practical application of faith. How you can get your faith to work. And our prayer is that you can walk in faith and you can actually see your prayers answered, where you can walk with this expectation of a persuaded heart. Our theme scripture is 1 Timothy 1:5, which is, but the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from a sincere faith. He's talking about love, hope, and faith. In 1 Corinthians, it talks about faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. Now, in Galatians, it says that faith works by love. And that is why we focus on the love of God in this church. Because your faith is talking about is activated by love. When you know and believe and are rooted and grounded in the love that God has for you, your faith will become effective. How many of you want to walk in your relationship with God and know that your faith is working for you? Hey, we want our faith to work for us. We don't want it to be hit and miss. We want to live with this confident expectation that what I'm trusting and believing God for is going to happen. And this is what we're going to be talking about this morning. People get upset with me when we focus on the goodness of God, which amazes me. They post things online about Steve and Nisner Vineyard Church that they only focus on the goodness of God. I actually take it as a compliment. Because it's when I can believe the truth of God's love and His character and His nature that there are no hidden trap doors concerning God's character and nature. That when He says He is good all the time. He says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. And James chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, it says, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, where there is no variation or shadow of turning. When you come to God, you can have this expectation that He is good and that He's not going to punish you for your sins and your transgressions. Jesus was punished for your sins and your transgressions, and He was the perfect sacrifice. So that is why the Bible says that we have been perfected for all time from all sin. So I can come to God without a consciousness of sin, because I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And as my heart is persuaded in His love, I can start to have an expectation to believe God. Because faith is about a persuaded heart. Faith in the Greek is talking about, it's the Greek word pistis, which means persuasion. So to walk in faith is actually to walk in your authority as a believer. That's what it is. It's to know what you have, what God has given you as a son and as an heir, and you can walk in that persuasion. So, faith works by love. Now, this not only is believing the love that God has for me, but expressing it to people. That I need to be walking, expressing. The reason why I'm saying that is if I'm walking in unforgiveness and bitterness, resentment and offense, it's very difficult to trust God. Because my heart is in turmoil. And Jesus said, look, there's a new way of doing it in the New Testament. Love your enemies. It's very difficult to, we can love those who are nice to us, but to love our enemies, different story. And Jesus said, man, when someone slaps you on the cheek, give him the other side. He's not saying be a doormat, just offer up cheeks. I believe what he's saying is, Don't live from the side that has been hit. Don't live from the side of pain and offense, but rather live from the other side of the cheek, that hasn't been hurt and offended, that hasn't been slapped. Rather live from that side. Don't live from this side of offense and bitterness and hurt, you know. If your heart is not established in sonship, you're going to live like an orphan. And you're going to live with this hurt and offense and what people have done and said to you. No, let it go. Move on. Walk as a son of God. Walk like Jesus walked. And that's the example that we have. And so we see, last week we saw the definition of faith. That faith is, you actually have the title deed. Let's read it in the Amplified. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact, which is not revealed to the senses. So he's saying, this is what faith looks like. Faith is where I am moved from what I believe in my heart. I'm not moved by my senses, what I can see and hear and touch and feel. See, we are so carnal that we are moved by what's happening on around what's happening around us instead of being moved by what's going on inside of us. There is a big difference between a thermometer and a thermostat. A thermometer goes up and down based on what's going on the outside. A thermostat determines the temperature. Amen. And he's saying faith is when you have a thermostat which has determined the outcome. You're not moved by what's going on the outside, like a thermometer. And Jesus said that we only need a speck of faith. See, we've been taught that you need lots of faith to persuade God. Remember, God is so persuaded, he went to the grave for you and rose again and gave you the inheritance. He doesn't need persuading, we need it. So he's saying it's not about how much faith you have, it's about a little bit. In Matthew 17, 20, he said to them, because of your meager faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there and it'll move, and nothing will be impossible for you. So he's saying, have you ever seen a mustard seed? It's the size of a ballpoint pen on a piece of paper. It's tiny. And Jesus was saying, you only need a speck of faith, and you can say to mountains, move. And then we have to mix the word of God and faith. Get your mixer out, those of you who like to bake. And he's saying this in Hebrews chapter 4. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, so he's saying there is a promise for you where you can enter into the rest of what God has done. Let us fear. Notice he's saying, let us fear. It's like, well, I thought that God said we mustn't fear. Now he's saying we must fear. This is the only place in the New Testament where he's saying you need to be fearful. And notice what he says. Let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So you can see this is where there is grace and faith. Grace is the ability of God at work within you that has come freely. So you have the grace of God that is within you. It's come freely. And there is faith, which is me being persuaded. And he's saying, I need to mix the two together. Otherwise, it's not going to profit me. He's saying, there are many people, even in the children of Israel, who they had the promise. He has the promised land. A land flowing of milk and honey. And the spies came back and said, no, I don't believe we can go in. And there were two that said, no, we can. God has given it to us. And they didn't believe it. And they wandered in the desert for 40 years. How many Christians see the promise in the Bible? They acknowledge the promise in the Bible. They read the promise in the Bible. But wander in the desert for 40 years. Because they haven't taken the promise and persuaded their hearts that it's for them. You know, that was for me. There was a time in my life, man, we were under severe financial pressure. And I came to God and I said, God, I see in your word here that you are Jehovah Jireh, my provider. I see in your word that you are my shepherd and I shall not want. I see in your word, it says that I must look at the birds, how they neither sow nor reap nor gather into the barns, and how you provide for them and that you'll provide for me. I see in your word that it says, my God shall supply all of my needs according to your riches and glory. And I said, Lord, I see it there, but I don't believe it. I acknowledge it's in the Bible, but in my heart, I don't believe it. And then I said something else. But I'm going to do whatever I can to persuade my heart that it's true. And you know, I was like a mad person because I went and I took those scriptures and I began to speak them and meditate on them and think about them and declare them as true. And my heart got persuaded. My circumstances didn't change, but my heart did. And over the course of a year, we got out of financial difficulty and debt. So it took some time for my circumstances to catch up in my heart, but I had to work on my heart. And that's what faith is. Faith is about what's going on in your heart. Faith is not about an external circumstance or some spiritual gymnastics that I need to do to get God to do something. Faith is about being persuaded of the promise, where I'm mixing what I'm hearing with belief in my heart. Notice what it says in the Amplified. For indeed, we have had the good news of salvation preached to us. That's us. Hey, that's all of us. How many messages have you heard? Hundreds, if you've been a Christian for any length of time. We hear the scriptures just preached to us, just as the Israelites also, when the good news of the promised land came to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because it was not united with faith in God by those who heard. So we need to be hearing and we need to be persuading our hearts of the truth of that promise, and then it'll benefit us. Otherwise, we're going to hear it and wander in the desert for 40 years. And then when we're wandering in the desert, you know what happens? We play the blame game. We then blame God. We blame the devil. We blame Moses. We look everywhere to blame instead of looking inside because I'm not willing to believe the promise. And so it's easier to blame than it is to persuade my heart. And that's why we need to be laboring to enter into rest. The laboring there is me persuading my heart. It's not praying harder, reading more Bible scriptures. I mean, those are all good things, but they are not good things if your heart isn't being persuaded. They are good things to persuade your heart. Say amen.
Amen.
So are you ready for the application of faith? And I want you to hear what I'm going to be sharing with you this morning. Please don't hear it as the six steps. Okay. These are points I'm giving you, and you can replace six with number one and number two with number four and number three with number five. You got to mix them up because it's about what's going on in your heart. Faith is about your heart, and you can never put a formula to what God is doing in your heart. Amen. So let's read the application of faith. Mark chapter 11, 12 to 14, the context. On the next day, when they'd left Bethany, he became hungry. Seeing from a distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if perhaps he would find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he said to it, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples were listening. Remember in the Garden of Eden, what did Adam and Eve cover themselves with? Fig leaves. And Jesus came up to the same fig tree. This is a metaphor. And man has been trying to cover themselves externally since the Garden of Eden. And Jesus came and said, listen, there is no fruit in that. I don't even have an expectation of fruit. I come to you. You think, man thinks that there's going to be fruit out of this, and there isn't. And he cursed it. And he's saying, man will never get or derive his identity from things that are external, trying to cover themselves any longer. And then he goes to Jerusalem in verse 19. They're coming out. It says, whenever evening came, they would leave the city. As they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. And being reminded, Peter said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered. Now Jesus gives them the application of how to walk in sonship. Now Jesus is going to teach them how to walk in the authority as a believer. And he says this, Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Now, in the original text in the Greek, it's a present tense verb. He says, have the faith of God. Now, God would never ask you to have something if you don't have it. And so Jesus is saying, this is how you walk in persuasion. Be persuaded like God is persuaded in your heart. And then he says, truly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, notice what he says, whoever. That's pretty inclusive, don't you think? Whoever includes you. So he's not saying this is for Sparky over there who's full of faith and you only have a little bit and you don't know how to work, it's not for you. He's saying whoever. He's included you in this. He's saying, listen, you can operate the same way. You have the faith of God and you can walk it out the way that I walk it out because I've included you. Whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted to him. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask. I mean, come now, Jesus. All things? Like, surely there must be like some kind of boundary there. First you're saying whosoever, you include everybody, and now you say all things. In one translation it says, whatsoever you desire. I mean, come on, Jesus. Surely you've got to like limit it. So, I mean, can't just give a blank check like that. What do you mean, Jesus? He says here, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them and they will be granted to you. You know what? I think so many Christians are afraid to even read this verse. It's like, God, are you saying that I'm included and that I can believe you? That I can ask and pray and believe that this is for me? Well, Jesus is saying that, isn't he? Have I read anything outside of Scripture here?
No.
This is the words of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, in a New Testament perspective, to discover what is God's will, he's given you his will. He's given you a new will. And he says all of the promises of God are yes and amen in him. I'm like, Lord, this is too big. Please just make it smaller. Have the faith of God. And so I'm going to give you 6 pointers this morning on how you can persuade your heart, because this is about what is going on in your heart. This is not about trying to go through these steps so that I can come to God and say, well, look what I've done, my 6 steps. Faith is of the heart. This is about you taking a promise and persuading your heart that it is true for you. So first and foremost, you need to choose the outcome that you desire. He says, whatsoever. You need to do the choosing. God isn't going to do the choosing for you. In Deuteronomy, from the beginning of time, he said, I place before you life and death. Blessing, cursing. Choose life. You have to do the choosing. God's not going to be choosing for you. You need to choose the outcome. You need to choose what you are going to be believing God for. Say amen. So Jesus came to redeem you from poverty, sickness, and death, according to Deuteronomy 28, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, that he's redeemed you. So is it in the boundaries of health and wealth and life? Well, then you can ask within those boundaries, but you have to determine the outcome. Secondly, God sees the end from the beginning, so I need to do the same. I need to see what does it look like and feel like living in the fulfillment of the promise. And the way that I do that is I connect joy to that. I connect joy because in my heart right now, I see the end from the beginning. Right now in my heart, what does it look like, feel like in my heart and imagination to see me living in the fulfillment of a promise? And that's how God does it. God from the beginning of time, he saw things and he spoke them into existence. He spoke what he had seen in his heart. The Bible says, from the beginning of time, he framed the world with his words. And so I need to frame that and see the end from the beginning. And I do that in my heart. That is why in my heart, there is no limitation. I might be limited by my present circumstances, but in my heart, there is no limitation. When I'm connecting to God, in my heart, I see the end from the beginning, and I'm connected to that in my heart. So this is a place where I'm influencing my heart now. I'm not allowing outside circumstances to influence my heart. No, in my prayer time, when I'm connecting with God, as I'm standing on scriptures, I'm seeing myself living in the fulfillment of that promise and the joy and the gratitude I get from living there. And my heart begins to get persuaded. Thirdly, I believe it in my heart. This is the place where I become immovable. In James, it says many people are wavering between opinions and they receive nothing. Because here they're standing on the promise of God. They see themselves living in the fulfillment of it. And then here they're persuaded of their circumstances and what's going on around them. And then we waver between the promise of God and the circumstances around me. And the promise of God and the circumstance around me. And what happens? I receive nothing. Because I'm not immovable. So to believe it in my heart means that I need to be immovable. Where I'm standing here, and even though these circumstances are trying to tell me something, I'm believing in my heart the truth of the scriptures of what God has given me in the new covenant, what Jesus died to give me as an heir. And in my heart, I become immovable because I'm seeing the end from the beginning, because I've determined the outcome. And I'm saying, Lord, thank you. In my heart, this is true for me. Amen? Amen? Amen. So this is where my mind and my heart, my beliefs come into alignment, and that's when I start my confession. Now, you've got to recognize that with your confession, there is a confession to persuade your heart, and there is a confession from a persuaded heart. And in the journey of persuasion, there's going to be times, man, Lord, I don't feel persuaded. And the way that you persuade your heart is using your mouth. Remember the analogy we gave? And I'm going to give it to you again. Simple exercise. In your head, count to 10, starting now. Now shout your name at me. Okay, let's try it again. This is not rocket science, okay? In your head, begin to count to 10. Now shout your name. See, when you shouted your name, you stopped thinking. The way to stop these thoughts to affect your heart and take you down a road that you don't want to go down is through confession. I speak practically to stop thoughts. Amen. And so when I was going through that season of financial difficulty and pressure, man, I began to just speak the word. And I'm not speaking the word to tell God. God is the word. He knows the word. And I'm not speaking the word to tell him. I'm speaking the word to tell my own heart. Because then when I stop speaking, these thoughts would take me down this journey and down into this dark pit. And so to stop my heart from going down following my thoughts, I would begin to speak the word. Thank you, Father, that you never fail me. You never disappoint me. You've said whoever believes in you will never be disappointed. Thank you, Father. Your word says that you are my provider. You live inside of me. You've said I could look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap. Thank you, Father. I can trust you. You look after the birds. You'll look after me. Thank you. Your word says you supply all of my needs according to your riches and glory. Thank you. I'm provided for. I'm a son. Thank you, Lord, that I'm blessed according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. I've been redeemed from this curse of poverty. Thank you that you've blessed me. Thank you that I walk in blessing. Thank you, Father, that I have abundance within me. And so what happens when I'm speaking those confessions, my heart begins to follow me, follows my confession and goes, well, Steve's saying this, it must be true. And you know what happens? There's a morning when I woke up and I made those confessions and I knew that they were true. Because now I was making that confession because my heart had been persuaded. Because I connected my mind, my imaginations, my feelings of joy, seeing the end from the beginning, seeing that I've chosen the outcome, seeing that in my heart I believe this is true, and I'd gone from persuading my heart to a persuaded heart. And that is where I'm speaking from a place of authority. I'm not speaking from a place of doubt. I'm speaking from a place where I know and believe in my heart this is truth. And that's when I speak to my circumstances. That's when I begin to speak to the mountain. whatever that mountain is. And I say, mountain, lack, you are no longer part of my life. Loneliness, you are not part of me. Sickness, you are not part of me. And now I'm speaking to a mountain, not because I'm hoping the mountain will move. I'm speaking to the mountain because in my heart I'm persuaded of the truth of God's word. And that's when I step into my authority as a believer. And then the next thing is, I just don't doubt. So when I want to waver, I come back into my heart zone, into the place of my heart, where the secret place where I'm connecting with God, and I go through this again. Father, thank you. I chose the outcome. You're in agreement with me. Thank you, Father. I see the end from the beginning. Thank you, Father. I believe this, that it is truth, Lord. I speak to the circumstance again. I say, you are not a part of me. And in my mind and my heart, I'm just going through those things again and again and again and again. And what you believe in your heart will happen. Guard your heart, for out of your heart flow the issues, springs, forces of life. And so if you want to see your circumstances change, it's first change what you believe in your heart. See, we often think that I've got to change my circumstances first, and then I'll be happy in my heart. No, you determine what's happening in your heart first, and out of your heart flow the issues of life. And so this is how you persuade your heart. And then the last thing is, you just then commit this process to the grace of God by living in gratitude. Where you are living in the finished product with such gratefulness and thanksgiving in your heart, because you know when you asked and prayed, you believed that you received. And so you are living in thanksgiving now. You're not living in thanksgiving one day when this prayer manifests. No, you believe in your heart that the prayer has already manifested, and so you're cultivating gratitude in your heart. And it's like, thank you, Father, that whatever I ask and pray, I believe that I've received it, and I thank you that I've determined the end from the beginning, and I see that this prayer is answered. Thank you, Father, in my heart, Lord, you are good, and that you're kind, and that you answer prayers, and that you work from my heart. Thank you, Father, I believe this is true. I don't doubt. I'm persuaded, Father. Thank you that I can speak to mountains. Thank you, Father, that I'm so grateful that I can live in the promises that you have given me. And I'm living in a sense of gratitude. Gratitude keeps you connected to the promise. Gratitude keeps you connected to the promise. Amen? Amen. And so I want to encourage you. This is something that you can apply, but you've got to do this in your prayer time. You got to do, no one's going to do this for you. This is where you come and go through this process. Just go through it over and over. When you're walking, you know that all of us are believing something all of the time. Right now, the atheist is believing something. And you're a product, and I'm a product of what we believe. And so if I don't like what I'm experiencing, I can change what I'm experiencing by first changing what I believe in my heart. And this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, listen, all things are possible. If you can believe it and get persuaded in your heart, hey, all things are possible. You don't have to be subject to your circumstances the rest of your life. You can become a thermostat and determine the outcome. And this is based on the words of Jesus. Amen. Why don't you stand to your feet? Get into a private place and connect with God in your heart. Choose the outcome. Determine the end from the beginning. Believe it in your heart. Use your mouth to persuade your heart. Don't doubt. Live in gratitude. So right now, God didn't say you have to wait one day. He said, whosoever. He's included you. So right now, Bible says, run boldly into the throne room of grace. God wants you to be bold, running to Him, having an expectation of His goodness. Take what you've heard and persuade your heart. Bow your heads this morning if you wouldn't mind. I want to ask you just to enter into the place of your heart right now. What is it that you are willing to believe God for right now? Because today is the day of salvation, wholeness, healing, deliverance, prosperity, forgiveness, and life. Right now, in this moment, because God is an ever-present God. He's Emmanuel. He has said that he never leaves you nor forsakes you. He is with you right now. What bold prayer are you willing to ask God for right now? What outcome can you choose right now? What end can you see yourself living in right now? And can you see yourself living in that right now with joy and thanksgiving? What prayer right now can you say thank you, Father, for? So, Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you, Father, that we can walk as sons and daughters of God, believing you, trusting you. And so right now, Father, we receive it. We receive it as true. We thank you that you're good and that you love us so passionately. If you're standing here this morning, you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. The Bible says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. God came to give you life. Life to the full, and it comes through Jesus Christ and through him alone. There is no other way to access God. There is no other way to experience the love of the Father except through Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. It's only through Jesus. He is the door. If you're standing here, you've never received Jesus. You've never walk through the door. You've never asked him to be the Lord and Savior of your life. I'd love to pray with you this morning. If that's you and you'd like me to pray for you, won't you just slip up your hand so I can see who you are? And I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. Thank you. Thank you. I'm not going to embarrass you, invite you to the front, but I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly. Thank you. Can we pray with those who lifted their hands and those who wanted to? Can you just pray from Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. It says the following. Just repeat after me. Pray after me from your heart. This is to God, not to me. Just say, Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son. I believe you died for me, rose again, and that Jesus is Lord. Thank you that you save me, that I am your child, that I stand forgiven, whole, adopted, and loved by you. So Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for your love, your kindness, your grace, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for watching. You are highly favored and deeply loved of God.